How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Welcome to Postcast as the Utah Jazz fall 106-94 in game number one of the second round of the playoffs to the Golden State Warriors. I'm David Locke along with Ron Boone. Thanks for coming to Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And Ron, let's review the three things that we were going to talk about coming into the broadcast. One was pace of play. Could the Jazz get the Warriors out of their tempo, control the tempo, get them in the late in the shot clock? What was the result on that?
It wasn't good. It wasn't good, and the reason it wasn't good was because the Warriors pushed the basketball, first of all, after made and missed shots. And as you pointed out, they really pushed it after a free throw. And for some reason, that seemed to work. So what happened? They ended up getting a lot of turnovers. Jazz had 10 turnovers and gave up 15 points in the first half. Second half, it was different. Jazz had 4 turnovers and gave up 5 points. Like to see them not turn it over early in the ball game, give this team a head start on you to where you're trying to play catch-up with a very dominating offensive basketball team.
What's really interesting to me is the Jazz slowed this game down, so the Jazz played their game, and the Warriors are so set on playing the way they play that it didn't have any impact them at all. Like, we have the numbers of what the Jazz did in the final 7 seconds of the shot clock. It was a lot. The pace of play was only 92 possessions in a game. That's slower than the Jazz average. The Warriors usually play a game at 100 and 304. So this is a slow, they took the air, they took the heartbeat out of the game, and it didn't slow down the Warriors at all, which is actually what my research showed, which was that in slow games, they're just as good offensively as they are in fast games.
It's just a very dominant basketball team. They're very much aware of the strengths. And what's so impressive is that they could care less on how you try to defend them. They're not going to change anything. And you heard Coach Brown say, and I heard Doc Rivers say that as well, is that, you know, we're not going to change anything when we against our opponents. You have to stop us with what we do best. Kind of reminds me of years ago with the Nebraska Cornhuskers in football. They had an option right and an option left, and every now and then they bust one up the middle. Stop us if you can. That's what I see with the Golden State Warriors.
And here's the daunting thing about this game is that the Warriors shoot 7 of 29 from 3. If you want to find nights where the Warriors are going to be bad offensively, it's when they don't shoot the 3 well. They didn't shoot it tonight, and they still got 44 points in the paint. They lived at the rim tonight, and they showed what we talked about in the open of the broadcast, which is they score more points inside 5 feet than they do outside the three-point line, and that was really evident tonight.
So what do you do? I mean, Quinn Snyder's going to have to come up with something different or take his chances again in the next basketball game that they'll shoot 7 for 29, but do a better job of taking away the paint. Now, the game plan was to make them shoot twos. But the bad thing for them is the 44 points they end up scoring in the paint. And that should be the Jazz strength. They had 46, but the Jazz also gave up 44 points in the paint.
Well, that was the other one we were going to talk about, was unassisted twos. Can we create them to go one-on? The Jazz got them to get some unassisted twos early, and then opening up the second quarter, the Warriors got their vibe going. And they got rolling along the way, and then the unassisted twos didn't happen. I think there were only 5 unassisted twos in the whole game. Latest number that our stats guy gave us was that on 28 of the 33 two-point shots, they were assisted. That's not getting them to take unassisted twos.
And you know what's ironic, not ironic, but what's funny about that is so many of the critics, and I know we are critics there as well, and we talk about the Golden State Warriors and the three-point shooting, how great as shooters they are, and you pointed out how well they pass the basketball and the unassisted plays that they the assisted plays. that they have. Now, this team is probably unstoppable. This team has been assembled with players that can do a lot of things. Not a player that can do one thing good. Durant's not necessarily just a three-point shooter. Obviously, Steph Curry is not just a three-point shooter. He can drive to the basket and dish the ball. Draymond Green is probably the backbone or the bookends or whatever you want to call it of this team because he is so versatile in everything, you know, at this game.
Final one was the Jazz were going to try to break the paint offensively to kick to other opportunities. They just could not penetrate against this defense at all.
They could not. I don't remember getting one lob to Rudy, maybe one. But they were able to take that away. When they switch all over the floor, they have the size and they also have quickness. And so that was one of the things that the Jazz was not able to take advantage of. And then I thought another thing is their perimeter defense is probably as strong as anyone in the league. Jazz wanted to take away that swing pass by overplaying the weak side of the ball. So did the Golden State Warriors, and they did it a little bit better than the Jazz.
And the Warriors put much pressure on Rudy Gobert as I've seen anyone do all year long.
To start the game off, I mean, I don't think the Jazz were ready for that because Pachulia was picking him up almost at center court and giving him a lot of hands. Most teams, knowing that Rudy's not a three-point shooter, knowing he's not an outside threat at all, would back up inside the three-point line and try to zone that area. But the approach was a little bit different for the Golden State Warriors because they smothered Rudy and forced him to pick the basketball up out 30 feet away from the basket and took away the passing lanes. That was dangerous.
Well, here's an interesting, at least to me, being a geek, here's an interesting note. We'll see. We have spectators now. We'll see if they think it's interesting. The Warriors' offensive rating tonight was 115. For the season, their offensive rating was 113. That was just a ho-hum regular offensive performance for them. The Warriors' defense on the year was a 101. The Jazz offense was a 102 tonight. So the Jazz were actually a little better than what the Warriors usually allow, and their offense was just whatever. This was just a rudimentary Warrior performance in a 106-94 win over the Jazz.
Rudimentary, does that mean routine?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, and the last note, because I think this is really fun, the spread was 13, and James McAdoo took a three with 7 seconds left, and it didn't go in, and so the Jazz covered. That'll do you no good unless you bet on the game, in which case, depending which way you did bet on this game, you either think that's really cool or you're really mad at me right now for bringing that up. This is Postcast. I'm David Locke. He's Ron Boone. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.